folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. Bad traffic is a great time to have some brain dumping and some conversations about teaching stuff, and because I spend all day kind of thinking about that stuff at my job as an instructional coach and as a classroom teacher, I think it's a good time to do it in the car to just kind of unpack where things are in education today. And this week I'm talking about in-person professional development. Last week I had a chance to do some of that in person, off-site, for the first time in about a year. That was a surreal experience, and one I think worth sharing. I'll get into that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, new episodes drop every Monday, yeah, give or take. Please feel free to like or subscribe, leave a comment. It does help other people find the show. You can hit me up on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name, and EDU like teaching, because I love teaching and want to get better at it. And I love leaning in on conversations where other teachers are talking with one another, whether it's in person or virtual. So let's do that. Let's change the world. And I have a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. People don't think it sucks. That's fun. The book is available on Amazon, wherever books are sold. And I have a website for that. It's adrenalinerush.com. Adrenaline with an E, like educational ed adrenaline. I have a bunch of templates, and they're all available on that site for free. Please use them, steal them, adapt them, have fun. I'm also my brand new project, which I'm very excited about. We've been working on for the past year, but it's officially live in the past month, is emc2learning.com. Michael Matera and I are out on a mission to change the world. We're trying to change the way that professional development is done. So we have like 200-plus templates of classroom activities, not off-the-shelf worksheets, but like pop-and-swap templates where you can do student engagement at the speed of life. And we're all there available. All those stuff are available on our membership site, which is emc2learning.com. Now, enough commercials. Let's get into real time, because this week, I was out. I traveled. I went to Delaware. I feel like there's a Wayne's World sketch. Hey, we're in Delaware. Or I think there's a Simpsons sketch that says, yay, I'm going to visit a screen door factory. Like, what is there to do in Delaware? Delaware is not Pennsylvania. Philadelphia is a big, city of brotherly love. It's not Baltimore, where I guess Tracy Turnblad is singing from the top of her lungs, and I'm here in Washington, D.C. It's not D.C., with, the hustle and bustle of all the politicos and the movers and shakers. It's a town, it's a city on the East Coast of the United States, and it was home to a small Catholic school, about 35 teachers, who invited me up to lead a full-day PD. When I say full day, I mean I have to be there for the equivalent of a full day because it takes time to drive up and back. But the actual training itself was about 3 hours, give or take. Me doing like hands-on training for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then a keynote. And this is the kind of thing that, as a professional development guy, you do, whether you're in your own school or at other schools, conferences, or like the lecture circuit. Like, what you're doing is a combination of breakout sessions and like large group addresses. And when you have only 30 people on a faculty, the breakout session is those 30 people, right? So you have a chance to just work in person with. I was originally scheduled to actually booked last March, I think. We booked in March for last May. But, of course, the world changed and COVID happens, and everyone was shut down, everyone was away, everyone was quarantined. And so it was only now, a full year later, we actually had a chance to get back in person. And what was interesting is, in the past year, I'm sure you've seen a lot of speakers and presenters have shifted to like an online format. You probably have burned out and zoomed out for just all of the time we've spent in like online trainings, another Zoom call, a Zoom call that could have been an email. And there's a lot of great things about Zoom. There's a lot of great things about these online platforms that can help us be connected. One of my favorite new ones is Topia. If you haven't played with Topia yet, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You should totally check out Topia. But if you're not playing with Topia, and if you're not playing with Zoom, and if you're not playing with, Google Hangouts or Microsoft Teams, you probably have done some version of video meeting in the past year. Remember Skype? How does Skype come from so far ahead to end up so far behind? But the video meetings are where we were. But here, we weren't in video. We were like in real life, IRL, in person. And I want to talk about some of those shifts that I kind of experienced because it was different. It was awesome. It was scary. And that readjustment, as many teachers are making that reacclimation to life back in this new normal, which is starting to see more and more of us making our way into a physical classroom or school, I want to talk about some of that today.
So I guess the easiest way to talk about it is to talk about some of the things that were the same and some of the things that were different. First and foremost, safety, always. I've been very vocal on this podcast and in my tweets and pretty much anywhere I may have heard me speak before, about the safety of teachers, safety first and safety always, right? And not just in a classroom, but in these ideas of these activities or, quote, games that we would play with our students. A game played without consent is not a game. It's a chore, or it's a punishment. You know, forcing kids to run a mile if they don't want to run a mile. I know the state tests might say that they have to run a mile, but at no point would the child during the run be like, man, I'm having a lot of fun with this thing that I'm forced to do. If you were playing Monopoly with your friends and your family and you're like, wow, this kind of sucks. I'm going to lose. I've mathematically been eliminated for like 3 hours. Let's keep playing. That's, again, there's no joy in that. So I think it's important that we talk about consent and safety above all things. For the sake of this training in person, it was a small school of only about 30, 35 teachers. And so in a room that could accommodate well over 100 people, we're in a library. People were spaced out, socially distanced, masked, and most, if not all of us, had already been once or twice vaccinated already because the state of Maryland, state of Virginia, and the state of Delaware have been really good about early rollouts for teachers on the front lines of the COVID crisis, trying to get everybody vaccinated. So we were socially distanced. Yes, we were masked. Awesome. And the majority of persons in the room had already been double vaccinated, if not already recovered from COVID themselves, which is good news. So I think that safety piece is important to talk about. Some changes, because we were doing this in-person training for the first time in like a year, a lot of the stuff that I would typically do, I would do as tactile stuff. Can't do that now. Can't really play a QR break-in where you're passing between your teams shared pencils or shared pens. You can't do an activity with Rory Story Cubes where you're taking the deck of cubes and handing them to people and then everyone's like holding them in their hands and letting those little plastic orbs or those, you know, cubes tumble on the table. Can't do that. Certainly can't do a thing where you're going to open up a bag of Legos together as a team and try to do this iterative design where you as a team are building as fast as you can while other teams are building as fast as they can. And then people are passing you pieces or, like, you know, back and forth. You're taking it apart. You're looking at instructions together. Can't do that stuff. And that's a challenge because I would typically, on a day like this one, do something like that as a way to kind of explore this nature of what play can do. Not as a gimmick, but really as almost a thought exercise, like a thought experiment. If you've ever done something like the Mr. Potato Head build activity or the Marshmallow Challenge, where you're working as a team to construct a thing as big as you can or as fast as you can or as accurately as you can with only a limited number of supplies and a number of teammates who are all, you know, talking over each other at the same time, it can get chaotic. It can get kind of crazy. And I do kind of like that. I want real learning to be messy. I want it to be Montessori. I want it to be hands-on and tactile. I often joke that I'm making fun of learning or I'm making fun of professional development. And not to say that I'm insulting it, but like I'm injecting joy and enthusiasm and curiosity back into what otherwise is just so stale. Like so many professional development days, you come in and you're like, ah, this could have been an email. It's going to be a lame PowerPoint. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to hate this. And I'm going to walk through it and be like, this isn't for me. I don't need any of this. This doesn't even need to be an email. I can go ahead and just say, yes, I have agreed to check the box, move on. And so really bringing that sense of joy and that camaraderie on a professional development day is super important. And maybe that's a different podcast altogether. But I think so often in our classes or in our schools, professional development is a thing that we just kind of go through the motions. I was in a conversation yesterday with an educator from Minnesota, and they said, you know, it feels like PD was the thing that was planned like 15 minutes before we had to walk in and do it. And we have all these state mandated days where we're not allowed to teach and we have to do these meetings. And it's almost like this meeting is an interruption of our instructional time for a thing that they didn't put any thought into. And the problem is this, as a classroom teacher, right? The intentionality is a big piece of it. Because we, as classroom teachers, know what it feels like when we're delivering a lesson that we put kind of no thought into. Just last minute, here's the worksheet. Teachers pay, teachers go. Our kids feel it. You know, the students learn to pick up on those things. I think it was in the movie, School of Rock, where Jack Black's character is about to play a movie as a substitute teacher, and they're like, he's like, you know, headaches, dark sunglasses, and they're like, are you drunk? And he's like, no, I'm hungover. That means I was drunk yesterday. Shut up and watch the movie. Like that moment where we kind of punt as a teacher and say, well, today, I just got too much to do. And the problem is, if a professional development day lacks intentionality, it lacks meaning, it lacks purpose, it lacks that memory of elevation because people don't really remember what you say. They remember how you treated them, right? I think that's the Toni Morrison quote. And we don't remember minutes. We remember moments, right? Like, we remember those things that are epic, that kind of raise above the noise. In John Grendel's book, John Gardner's book, Grendel, you know, this monster who's trying to terrorize Beowulf is suffering this existential angst, just kind of wandering through life, and every day is the same. And at the very end of the book, when Grendel the monster runs up against Beowulf, for the first time in his life, he couldn't predict how it was going to turn out. And even though he loses, major spoiler, he says at the end of the book, Grendel's had an accident. Maybe the same for you all. Like, I hope everyone in their life has an accident. Not like, I hope something bad happens to you, but I hope something that disrupts your norm happens to you. Because if life every day is the same every day, it's really hard to appreciate those highest moments of life, those elevations, those peaks. One more book, just because I come from it from a literary bent, and I promise I'll get back to the PD side of things. Swear to God. But if you've ever had a chance to read Thornton Wilder's Our Town, it's a story of day in life of a very small town. Grover's Corners is the name of the town. And nothing much happens there. It's a pretty pedestrian, pretty boring Main Street USA. Our major character, there are the Gibbs and the Webbs, and Emily, over the course of the story, will have been both of those things, married into one family that was born in the other. And over the course of, I think, these three acts, she passes away. She was a young woman, she married, it was lovely, she had a family, and then she dies. And it's like a day in the life of our town over the course of like 50 years, 60 years. Okay, fine. There's no set, there's no scenery. It's deliberately very spare, and it's very humbling. It's very, true play. It's a very minimalist thing. But as Emily goes back, the narrator, like the stage manager, says, you can go anytime you want to go, but I recommend you go back to a boring day, like a normal day. Don't pick your wedding day. Don't pick the day that was the biggest and best. He's like, because the simple joys of the everyday, to someone who hasn't experienced the everyday, will be more than enough to overwhelm you and make you feel like this flood of emotions. Don't pick those days that are sort of those peaks. So she picks one of her birthdays, which is like a smaller one. And already she's like, oh, world, you were too beautiful for me to even know. Does anyone even ever see this stuff? The narrator's like, not really. A lot of people kind of go through life and miss it. Because there is that whole, like, we caught up in the boring side of things, that everydayness is kind of meh. I say that because there's a good about every day and a badness about everydayness, because now as I'm returning back to some level of in-person trainings, there is that everydayness that already was exciting for me. To come in and be like, all right, everyone, there's bagels as you come in, and coffee, if you wanted coffee. And the bagels are individually wrapped, so you can just grab one from a grab-and-go station, and, socially distanced if you wanted to get your sweeteners, and, like, everything's been pre-wrapped, everything is separated, but, like, that we have a meal together. There's an everyday thing that it's like, huh, whoa, I missed that. And suddenly it feels more epic all over again. It's like, I could have food with another human being? They have individually wrapped like the 4-packs of Oreo cookies and Nutter Butters. And I'm like, oh yeah, I could lean in on a table where other people are leaning on a table and we're both eating the same type of food, even if we're not eating the same food. You know, three people reach in and grab the diet sodas together. It was weird to see diet soda. I don't drink soda, but like to see diet sodas in a 12-pack and then to know that there would be 12 cans of soda that would be consumed in the same day, like blows my mind. And I know that's such a dumb, small thing, but like the everydayness of it, which we had for a very long time taken for granted, really does feel like a memory or an epic thing that kind of elevates it. And I feel like this Grendel moment where the accident that we've all had is this COVID pandemic where we've been forced to say for a year, I'm not going to be with people. I'm not going to be around just other human beings. And something as small as, good morning, faculty. Come on in. The professional development day is XYZ and our speaker will be ABC and we'll be here till 1, 2, 3. Like, there's a novelty to that now. And I'm sure it will wear off immediately, but I hope I don't ever forget this. Like I'm making this document, and I share it with the whole wide world. Because this is what a lot of us are doing, right? We miss that normal white noise of being back in our classrooms, of our students in the hallway where they're not wearing masks. We miss that thing where they're like, hey, can I just stay after class for 2 seconds and ask you about the homework or go over this test or walk through this project? Like, very grateful that we have the ability to still do that. And if you are listening to this podcast, it means that you are closer to the end of the pandemic, we hope, than to the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, the night before the president came on and, marked the 1-year anniversary since the, announcement of the pandemic. And we talked about, you know, the number of lives lost and the number of sacrifices we've all had to make in this past year, but that we're close to the vaccines, right? That we're close to this idea of there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that the normal starts to feel like an epic. I mean, I kind of am doing two things at once here, talking about both sides of the mouth. Like, PD should be boring, but sometimes that boring can be really novel, the chance to just be in that space. And I was so grateful, again, about things that are same and different, that the team worked with me to kind of let me do a modified version of the thing that I do, right? So we weren't playing with Legos, we weren't playing with marshmallows, we weren't playing with potato heads, but we were doing game-based learning. We were doing all sorts of things where people were doing interacting with sketchnoting, with graffiti pages, with story cubes that were virtual, like story dice online, right? With a March Madness style bracket tournament, where we're just learning in different ways and thinking about different ways that we can assess and, you know, meet the changing needs of our students. You know, we say on the EMC2 website that we try to engage at the speed of life. And for many of us, like, life had to slow down, so we had to get rid of some of the things that were our old standbys, right? You can't do a breakout EDU game where everyone in class is tripping over each other. Can't safely really do an egg dash challenge where everyone is reaching into the same bucket and picking eggs out. And these are the things that brought us to the dance. So it's like, oh man, what are we doing? It's like, well, we're being intentional. We have an intentionality about the day we designed this PD day. And I was so struck that I was able to do that with the faculty, and their principal was fantastic. Worked with me to say, look, do an hour and a half of, like, train people up, and then just, you know, give that big picture pie in the sky, like, a little bit of that reclaiming our calling kind of keynote to say, so we've had a lot of things to process. If you walk away with two or three things apiece, already we're in a great shape. We're already that much better than we were yesterday. Those little things are now starting to be epic changes. And hey, through this faculty of 30 people, if each person walks away with two things or three things, then in the course of a week, everyone will walk away with 60 or 90 things, because you just have that many things happening with that many human beings. It's amazing. It really can make those everyday mundane things into those epic moments. And then to give a presentation about rah-rah, keep doing it, you got this, now go get this. That's a great way to kind of close it, land the plane. To take them through the website, to walk them through all the different resources and other things they have to go forward. So, you know, the learning never stops. There's always new challenges. There's always new activities to try. And we have, like I said on my site, a whole bunch of stuff that we try to keep making stuff so that there's always more stuff to come back to, like a box of Legos, like a Disney World, like a, you know, coming back and saying, this is so much bigger than I thought it could have been. Wow, that's kind of the purpose, right? Elevating those moments of that epic feeling. The Italian concept of what they call fiero, which is like a triumph, a fire of joy. Like, oh man, I'm so excited to, like a kid on Christmas morning, right? That's awesome. And then to kind of cap the whole day off, the teachers in the school had a doubles badminton tournament. They opened the gym, and the teachers, well masked, had already signed up in pairs, and they're like, hey, look, I would love to keep talking PD, but I gotta go play. My team's up. And sure enough, the entire faculty, of their own volition, stayed on a Friday afternoon and played badminton together. And I talk about these epic moments. Like, I will remember this for the rest of my life. It is that first time back in a building when people didn't have to be there for like a year. And when they finally get back in to see one another, it's, hey, we're going to enjoy a socially distanced meal as best we can. We're going to learn together with some modified versions of trainings that could take that mundane and make it feel, like, memorable. And then to cap this day off, we're going to make a memory together. We're going to stand above the humdrum. And yeah, no one's playing badminton to make it to the Olympics. Nobody here is out, I think, to beat up, you know, Steffi Graf or Andre Agassi to take this into the tennis world. But there's something about it that's just joyful, that's playful. It says, hey, you're human. You're here. I'm here. We're safe. Thank God. All right, sit down. Let's play. That, to me, was awesome. And it does speak to the type of thing that I want to do with my life, is to bring joy and wonder, excitement, and those elevated moments that make people say, you know what? It's not that bad. It was awful. It remains awful. There's a lot of things left to be done, but there is hope. There is joy. There's something about it that elevates. And I hope that that comes through when I talk about it. Like, we're getting back to something like what normal might have been. It'll never be the same, but it's something closer to that than this. And for this, as we kind of go through all that stuff, as we kind of talk about these epic moments, these things that kind of get us ahead and maybe get us out of this stuck space, remembering how beautiful the mundane can be and appreciating those memories, those moments, with a little bit of thought or intentionality to kind of plus them as a professional development goes, or as a school administrator goes, or as a classroom teacher goes, something as small as, hey guys, it's good to see you. Let's take attendance today, right? Or, hey guys, let's turn the attendance taking into a memory making. Let's turn a small thing that otherwise would have been a humdrum into a moment of, wow, connectedness, joy, enthusiasm, camaraderie, empathy. That's the reason why we do what we do. We teach people. We don't teach content. And if we can get back to that people side of things, even if it's in small ways, say, hey, I see you, and today is fundamentally different because you showed up, then our day is better. and their day is better, and our job is better, and this world is a better place. Anyways, enough of the rah-rah for me. God bless you guys. Stay safe. Stay home. Wear a mask. Hit me up at emc2learning.com. Become a member and hang out with us. We're running a promotion until the end of the month of March, and we'd love to have you on the ground floor as an engagement engineer. In the meantime, I'll be back next week. Hit me up on Twitter, @mehanedu, and I'll see you. Bye for now. Thanks.